Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Michael Kelly, Amy Markscore is with you on this snowy Monday. If you are at home, stay at home. The roads are not great, and Kevin Wheeler said 70 is a disaster. It's a disaster, baby. Yeah, so it's not good. If you can stay home, stay at home. We welcome in now, actually, Tamar Scher, KMOV sports anchor and reporter, after a busy few days in sports. Tamar, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so thrilled to be joining you, getting to talk to you for the first time. No stranger to KMOX, growing up listening to KMOX on these snowy, snowy days growing up. So can't wait to be with you and talk some sports. It's been busy, and we're at the halfway point for the Blues. A lot going on right now.
Awesome. Well, I share that enthusiasm. Matt Pajeski, our producer, said you're an absolute favorite all-star on Sports Open Line. They love having you on. You're so good. So thank you. Yeah, well, we need to bring you on this show, the midday show, more often. Let's start with the St. Louis Blues after a big victory in the Winter Classic. Again, 3-0, only NHL team to be 3-0 in Winter Classics. They did fall to the Columbus Blue Jackets, not in great fashion. What are you seeing from this team? Are they coming back down from that new coach bump?
Well, it's important to note they're at the halfway point. And like you mentioned, they did have a coaching change. They have Jim Montgomery. I think that he brought a spark to this team. Every point matters, though, at this point. Of course, they're 2 points out of the wild card spot and the Western Conference standings now at the halfway point. So the Blues are really going to need to capitalize on this next long home stretch after they head to Minnesota on Tuesday to be able to see, okay, can they make a playoff push? This is something that Blues fans are craving. They haven't had this in quite some time. It's been a couple years since we saw the Blues in the playoffs. But I do think, you know, there's one thing that people are talking about. The Blues are struggling to win 3 straight games. That's been plaguing the Blues. Can they do that during this next home stretch, because they have more of a favorable opportunity in the next couple of weeks to do that as they look to start the second half of the season, look to start to get to that push? I think we're seeing a lot of sparkles, I want to call them, here with the Jim Montgomery era as the St. Louis Blues head coach. And hopefully we continue to see those things evolve. But you look at a guy like Cam Fowler, who has been doing amazing for the Blues. He was amazing in that Winter Classic game with 2 goals in his 1,000th NHL game. So there are these bright spots within the team. You just hope they continue to build on each other down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, looking at this team and some of the guys that were the youth, the youngsters during that Stanley Cup run, like a Jordan Kyrou, a Robert Thomas, they're moving up with the veteran crew. And you have Braden Schenn, you have the captain of the team. But if you really look at the leadership, can you point to a clear veteran voice on this team? Or, and here's my kind of, I don't know if this is, you can tell me if it's correct or not, but I feel like Jordan Binnington has been kind of a quiet leader. You never really see the goalie play that role. Generally, it's like, you know, on the blue line, you have an Alex Pietrangelo. You had Ryan O'Reilly. You had these big voices, and I know Schenn's the captain, but right now my brain keeps falling back to Jordan Binnington being the glue. What are you seeing?
I think it's a combination of the two you just named. I think it's a combo of Binner and of Schenn, because as guys will tell you in the locker room, they still see Schenn bringing guys together. He's that motivational speaker, that voice in the locker room, on the ice, that you look toward, no matter if he's producing or not. He's always that consistent voice. But then you got a guy like Binner. Hofer's getting in there too. in terms of how these goaltenders are winning games and helping out this team. But Jordan Binnington, he's been that voice. You and I both know it, that Stanley Cup run. He's been that way since then, this team really leaning on him. And I also find it interesting that Doug Armstrong wasn't shying away from adding veteran presence. So, like I mentioned, a Cam Fowler, that's a really good veteran voice. He played 14 seasons in the NHL before coming to the St. Louis Blues. And now he's been able to, he even said it in the locker room to us. He's like, I enjoy playing with this team. I enjoy playing with this organization because they helped me with my transition, being a veteran player, but coming to the Blues and feeling that arms wide open mentality is super special. I think that has a lot to do with the foundation that a guy like Binnington and Shen have set for just the entire locker room and on the ice.
If you, I can put you in this position that you have to speculate, rank speculation, how are you feeling about their playoff chances?
And like I said, this is the time where every point matters. So what they've been saying over the last couple of games, knowing that this halfway point is coming up, they're saying, you know, we wish we would have put ourselves in a better position, that we're not fighting for points necessarily at this place like we have seen in years past. But I don't see them stopping. Yeah, sure, they haven't won three straight games yet, but I think they do have an opportunity to do that. I think they do have that push. I mentioned 2 points out of the wild card spot and the Western Conference standings. They're not far behind. They're not, okay, we're done, we're out of it. They definitely are, especially when you see what Doug Armstrong has done over the last couple of weeks, months, and what he's added. You know, the big steal with the offer sheet guys and Dylan Holloway, Philip Broberg, those moves have proved to be so important for the Blues as well. So I think all signs are pointing to the fact that I think they can make that push to the playoff. Hopefully they do get over that hump, but I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. You feel this push. Sure, they dropped that game against Columbus. They have to win games like those. But then you look to the Winter Classic win. You look to the shutout win after that, and Brandon Saad getting that hat trick in that game. That's an upward trend for the St. Louis Blues, and I think we're going to continue to see that over the next couple weeks.
Let's switch it up from hockey for a second. Talk a little baseball, a little hot stove. Of course, Nolan Arenado expected to be on the trading block. Executed and stopped the trade to Houston. Has been rumored in some other places, but still hasn't made a move. Do you anticipate that he'll be moving on, or will he be the third baseman of this rebuilding team next year?
Well, I did listen to Tom Ackerman talking to President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, yesterday, and Mo was saying that conversations are pretty slow right now, and that's kind of anticipated just over the trajectory of when guys are trying to get traded. They have that no trade clause. Like you mentioned, he put a stop to the Astros trade allegedly, but I think, or pickup, but I think that, like John said, this is a little bit of a slow dip because now we are only 6 weeks away from spring training. Teams kind of figuring out who they got. It's still a give or take right now. If you would have asked me on the scale of how confident I am if Arenado stays, goes, right now I'm not very confident that he goes. We did see there are reports flying around. He wants to go to the Boston Red Sox. That might be a good place for him, but it's, do the Red Sox need him in that position? He's been open to saying, hey, I'll go play first base if that means I get to go play for a team that is going to be a contender, win now. That's his mentality. But as these trades continue to happen and as time passes, I think timing's everything, and we're now starting to slide down the slope of, well, if you wait any longer, what's going to be left? What do teams need? What do they anticipate? So I did think it was interesting yesterday when I was listening to Mo talk to Tom, just the fact that things have quieted down. I think that's something we all kind of anticipated as time happens. That happens as well.
Yeah, this the rumors that we're hearing about the Red Sox and Arenado, that Boston might be the preferred destination for him. Is that coming out of the Arenado camp or the Red Sox camp?
That's a good question that I don't have a solid answer to, but I think that if Arenado didn't want to go there, we're not hearing that. So the speculations are, you know, this is a favorable place for Nolan Arenado. I would speculate that that is something that, okay, he can see the Red Sox and what they're trying to do, what they're wanting to do. Maybe he sees himself as a good fit there, and maybe those conversations are happening behind the scenes and to see, hey, because Mo even said he wants to find a place for Nolan. We have seen that they are trying to cut back on payroll, and we know that Arenado is a big name in that pool as they look toward the youth movement. I think that that's where the Cardinals want to go, and having a big contract like Nolan's on the Cardinals' payroll is a huge thing that they have to navigate if they are going to keep him for this next season and beyond. But I definitely, back to your statement, I think that it is something that not only Nolan Arenado is aware of, I think team, but it has to be the decision between the Cardinals and the Boston Red Sox, and then Arenado has to approve of that because he does still have that no trade clause.
Over in college football, Missouri Tigers quarterback Brady Cook has declared for the NFL draft. He was 3 years with Mizzou. St. Louis native, lifelong, he's been with Mizzou for 3 years. With Brady Cook declaring for the draft, where do you see his value?
Well, first of all, Brady Cook is an outstanding human being their partners this season and being able to travel with them on the road, go to home games with them. I was at the Music City Bowl in Nashville. This is just an outstanding human, and the adversity this guy has faced. Not only is he a St. Louis native, so St. Louisans are going to root for a guy like Brady Cook and what he brings to a program, his stick-to-itiveness and his want to play for the Missouri Tigers and saying, you know what, I have a broken hand, a broken ankle, and I'm still going to play. And he still, every chance he got, went out there, showed up for his team. But not only that, he's getting the MVP award for the Music City Bowl, knowing, hey, my defense and my kicker really stepped up in these moments. So he's receiving the trophy, but he's pointing out to all of his guys in the crowd as they're celebrating. I think that says a lot about Brady Cook. He's not a me guy. He's a we guy. I think just from the standpoint of who he is as a human and what he's been able to contribute out on the field, I think that teams would look at him and say, okay, that's an outstanding player, but also the person that we want to have as part of our organization. So if you're just talking who he is as a guy, what he's been able to do this season despite all the injuries, I think he's got a great future ahead of him.
He wouldn't be the first Mizzou quarterback that people may second guess on and all of a sudden winds up in the NFL. We've got a couple of them that have done that. What about Luther Burden, man? He's the biggest talent that Mizzou has, probably the biggest opportunity with the draft coming up. I would assume he's getting prepared. Is there any speculation as to how things are going for him?
I think that's a reason why he didn't play in that bowl game. Looking at it, knowing that he can go highly in that NFL draft this upcoming couple of months, I think it's going to be really important for him. I talked to him after that bowl game. He was there supporting his team from the sideline. He's like, yep, all right, now it's about combine training. It's about, okay, let's go ahead. Let's see this. I think people know who Luther Burden is. This is a guy we kind of saw at the beginning of the season. All right, he's not a senior, but this is his last year suiting up as a Mizzou Tiger, so we knew that. I think that now it's about what he can prove in these next couple of months and show off in the combine and all those things, all those conversations coming into play. But this is a guy who was so important for these Mizzou Tigers the last 2 years. I mean, you talk about this is the first time Mizzou has had back-to-back 10-win seasons since 2014 in the Gary Pinkel era. That in large part to Luther Burden, in large part to Brady Cook and that duo connection that they have there. So I think that when you're looking at what Luther Burden can do in this draft, I don't see why a team doesn't pick him up and look at him and say, okay, this is a guy who can play at the next level. We saw that even when he was in high school, you can see a guy and say, oh, I think this is a guy who can really make it in the league.
All right. Now, last question for you, Tamar. The Chiefs obviously blown out 38-0 against the Denver Broncos. Not much to take from that since the majority of their starters did not play. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, not in the game. Just one question, though. It is at left tackle with DJ Humphries. They're hoping that he can be a playoff starter. He had a okay first half, not a great second half, but the Chiefs, it seems like their biggest concern going into the playoffs is, can they protect Patrick Mahomes? Any thought on Humphries and what they should do at that position?
To be honest, I think you look at a game like we saw against the Broncos, and you kind of just have to throw it out the window, as silly as that sounds. But this is a game that they had to rest their starters. They wanted to rest their starters knowing that they already locked up the top seed in the AFC. And you think about what the Chiefs have done this season and how many close one-score games they've been on the positive end of. And you say, hey, even though maybe some of those wins didn't look as pretty as we would, as we wished, this is still a Super Bowl-winning Chiefs team. I think that it is quite interesting to see what they've done the past couple of years and what they continue to do. And I still am confident that this is a team. I look at my coworkers and I'm like, all right, you can't really bet them out. And the only reason that yesterday turned into what it did is because, like you mentioned, they had to sit those starters to be able to say, okay, we already locked up that spot. No point risking any injury, risking any hurt. So they do have another opportunity to see, like you said, that some of that competition there is still alive. They have some practices to go to get there, but they did kind of allow their starters to get a break to see, okay, what do we have here? Do we see anyone else that we can add in there? So, of course, while the concern is that, I still think Patrick Mahomes and his ability to not only be a wise, smart quarterback, but he can maneuver opportunities to be able to get them in winning positions. He's done that all season long. So I think this is a good opportunity to see, all right, we might see more history by the Chiefs getting to that finish line yet again.
She is Tamar Scher. You can catch her on KMOV. She is a sports anchor and reporter there. Tamar, thanks for joining us today. And tell your mom, Karen, hi for me. She's the best, too.
I will. I'll tell her right now. Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. Love chatting with you always.
Awesome. Hope to talk to you soon. That's Tamar Scher. Be sure to follow her on Twitter. You can watch her on KMOV. He is Michael Kelly. I am Amy Mark Scores. Your texts continue to come in at 314-436-7900. It's a snowy day. Hope you're hunkering down. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.